I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We are officially in season four. We've made it, finally.
Season four, woohoo!
And do you remember when we did our promo shots for season four and that we also did the season five promo shots that same shoot?
Oh, was it the tennis court ones though?
Yeah, tennis court. And then they had this bush with a circle in it in like the front yard. And then we did tennis court, which they used for season five. Because I was going to say before we start season four, I look back at my day planner. Like, did we have a break between season four and season three or season three and season four? Should we talk about any of that stuff? And technically, we didn't have a break. We rolled straight into season four, which I think we all preferred at this time. I know Kevin preferred it because that meant he could keep his producers employed. Yes. He didn't have to let everybody go and then hope they're free 3 months later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think at this point, we were all into the show. Like, I'd finally gotten into it. And I think we were all fine going straight into it. So when I say we didn't have a break, we went straight from season three to season four. I'm not complaining. I'm not like complaining about not having a break. I think that's how we all wanted it. But like the last thing we shot for season three was Renaissance Fair in May. And then we go straight into our Alaska trip for season four was also in May. And then we went to Europe. We went to Monte Carlo for season four in June. Mm-hmm. And then we shoot 4th of July, which ends up being used for the first episode.
Right.
So it was a crazy time period. And then I'm also looking at my day planner to see what else is going on. What's going on off camera that we can tell everybody about. And it was just a whirlwind. And I think part of it too is we've talked about this when we talk about like manifesting on our Patreon and stuff. Part of it is like momentum. Like when you're kind of at rock bottom and you're struggling to achieve anything, it can feel like it takes so long to get that first thing. And then the next things come a little easier. But once you've got some good stuff going on, it like snowballs and more opportunities. And we were definitely in this phase. Like I'm looking at what we were doing and like I shot a campaign for Jacob and Company, which was like my first campaign. Like I was well into my job at the studio and I was also working on getting more involved in like the Playmate videos and stuff because Steve Wado wanted to do those. We were doing all kinds of extra things. Like I start doing in vitro like at the end of the summer, right when we come back from Jamaica. So it was just everything was turbocharged, like on the next level, taking on more responsibilities, more opportunities, just like bam, 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 thinking about the next steps.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy in a good way.
Yeah. I know I've talked about doing the Elvira show, but this is when it was happening because I see things in it, I can't find my planners. I have not found my planners yet. I know I still have them, but I just don't know. I haven't found the box with those in it yet.
They're so insightful.
I know. But like just going through my scrapbooks and stuff like that, there's evidence that I'm doing that at this time period. I obviously have the Bridget and Wednesday Friday show that just started up and I'm doing that every week. So I'm sure there's other things too that I'll come across that I'm doing at that time until I find my planners.
Yeah, it was busy, busy days.
I know it was definitely busy and I know it doesn't slow down because I remember thinking 2008 was my busiest year of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So this episode, once they finally get it cut together and ready to go, it first aired on December 9th, 2007. The number one song was No One by Alicia Keys and the number one movie was I Am Legend with Will Smith. And this whole episode is very weird to me. And I realized that when I rewatched it for my YouTube rewatch, and I talked about it on that reaction video, and I couldn't really figure out why it was so weird. A part of it is it looks weird to me. It looks poorly lit a lot of the times. I think our confessionals, most of them look like absolute shit. We're all giving drowned rat for some reason. And there's just a vibe. There's a vibe shift, 100%. And I was talking about that in my reaction video and people were chiming in on the comments and somebody left a comment I felt that was really insightful. She said, I watched this show growing up as a little girl and even as a little kid, I knew when this episode aired, it's the beginning of the end. And I'm like, that sounds so ominous. And I know we've talked before on this podcast about like beginning of the end type stuff because in season three, you can see little things like Kendra starting to pull away a little bit, me starting to get more immersed in work. But I feel like it's really relevant in this episode.
That's interesting. Because I did not feel it the way you do.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see a huge shift in the way things looked. I did feel like I looked crappy in my interviews. I didn't like notice that for anybody else. And I also had these really long hair extensions in, mm-hmm. and they were like kind of curly and stuff. And I hate them. I hate them.
I feel like because like I'm drenched because I'm doing the slip and slide the whole episode. Your hair's a little curlier, which kind of gives beach hair. Mm-hmm. And a lot, we're not wearing as much makeup in our confessionals for some reason. And it's just giving drowned rat to me all around.
Yeah. This episode, I thought there was a lot of weird things about the episode in a different way. Mm-hmm. But I really loved this episode, and I felt like we kind of, and I loved it because it's all about mostly my family
yeah.
and stuff. But I really felt when I was watching it, like I got teary-eyed a lot of times, and I really felt like the season finale of season three with the Playmate of the Year, there was a lot of heart and a lot of emotion in it with your family being there. And Sarah and her family and our friendship and then and even Barbie and Hef mm-hmm. and the love there. And I just felt like that it ended on a lot of love and a lot of like family, however you want to define the families. And then I feel like this episode picks up kind of right where we left off, which it should because there yeah. was no break here. And I still feel all that kind of love and that vibe in this mm-hmm. episode. Like my brother's coming home yeah. and everybody seems to be on board and excited. My dad is there visiting and everybody seems welcoming and on board. My parents are there. Like there, I feel like there was a still like a good family vibe and I don't even mean my family being there. I mean like between me, you, Kendra, and Hef mm-hmm. even. And like just Playboy and the mansion and stuff. But the whole time I was watching this, I was thinking, oh, I bet Dan the butler was just hating all of this. My brother is coming to visit. My dad is there visiting. Right. My parents are there visiting. My sister is there.
Yeah, if you guys don't know that reference, on Patreon, we review a podcast episode, not from us, somebody else did it, that was like banned and taken off the internet. But we dug into it and reviewed it, and they interviewed this guy, Dan the butler, and he made weird comments about like, well, you know, when the girls next door, all of a sudden, everybody's family is staying there. It's like, here's my sister, and here's my mom. Like, it was a bad thing.
Yeah, my brother, here's my stepdad. And so I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, and it's not like... I don't feel like the staff was any more run ragged because family was there as opposed to girl number five from the nightclub that stayed over the other night.
You know I don't I mean? Think so at all. In fact, I feel like family was probably more timid to
totally order and more things polite or, mm-hmm. and more. Yeah.
So I'm all in love with this episode. I'm thinking and I'm not really judging it on the way we mm-hmm. look in it, but I do know what you mean. Like we didn't look our best in this episode, but I'm just judging it for like the feelings that I'm getting and the content that we're getting and the family and the love and the support and everything. And then but then I watched it with commentary.
Yeah.
And I was shook.
Yeah, we're going to do a slumber party on our Patreon where we react just to the commentary on this episode because the commentary wasn't recorded until after all three of us had moved out. More than a year after this episode had aired.
Yes.
Yeah. So all three of us were like...
1 year since it had aired, but like a year and four,
year and a half after we filmed it.
Yeah, since we had filmed
it. Yeah, and we're all not girlfriends anymore. We're all in various stages of moving out. So many things had happened. We kind of don't give a shit as much as we used to. Like, we're not really being careful about what we said. So we're going to react to the commentary on our Patreon slumber party.
Yeah, because usually I bring it up as we're discussing the thing. There's no way I can do that because it is so contradictory to everything that's happening.
And just on another timeline.
It really is. Like, it just takes you completely out of the episode. And I think we need to stay in the episode because mm-hmm. I do think, for me anyway, it's a really good episode. It's an emotional episode. It's heartfelt. And I think that there's a lot of positive things in this that need to be talked about. So I think we need to talk about it in the time that
I agree, especially because in the commentary, we're more talking about current stuff
yeah.
than the actual episode. So it's stuff that was like late 2008. But I really like this episode too. It's not that I don't like it. It's just to me, it felt so different. And I think part of that visually is you're coming from watching the last episode of season three, which is so like pretty dresses and pastels and pink flowers and saturated and colorful and typical girls next door. And then this one, I swear to God, you guys chime in the comments if you think so too, so I don't think I'm crazy, but it looks, half the scenes look dimly lit. It looks weird. And it doesn't make sense that the lighting would have changed, because they would come in and put like sheer, like this diffusion over like the overhead lights in our rooms and stuff like that. Like they come in and kind of
had these big paper lantern ball things. Yeah.
Like they come in and do lighting in your house when you're doing a reality show. And of course, like as a season would wrap, they'd take it down. And then if a season was renewed, they'd come back and redo it. But since we went straight into it, they wouldn't have even had to change that. And then I was thinking, was this when we changed to high def? Because when people started shooting in high def in the industry, it was a huge deal. Everybody was talking about it. And people were scared shitless, like mostly older women were scared shitless because the camera's getting like every pore on your face, which is relatable to me now. I wasn't too worried about it at the time, but it was a big thing. And I remember Kevin talking about it a lot. But unless I'm remembering wrong, I feel like that was something that was being talked about more towards the end of the show. And I reached out to Becca, one of our producers, and asked if she remembered when we switched to high def, and she thought it was season two. So that wouldn't be the reason if that's the case. But I don't know. It just looks, everything looks a little dimmer lit. Like they forgot to turn on a switch somewhere. I don't know.
Well, it is. I mean, is it possible that they didn't know for sure that we were getting going straight into season four like this and did take the lights down? Because there were times they came in and took the lights down from my room. I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing is weird.
But chime in the comments if you're on the Patreon or the YouTube, because I'm just curious what you guys think. If you saw this episode and thought, oh, something shifted, because I feel a vibe shift.
This episode of Girls Next Level is brought to you by Alloy Women's Health. Aging can be pretty crappy, especially for women with problems sleeping, hot flashes, brain fog, weight gain, and decreased libido can hit most of us pretty hard. Menopause and midlife is inevitable, but it's also treatable. I just found out that almost half of women went 3+ years before seeking relief from menopause or perimenopausal symptoms. Why would we do that to ourselves? Alloy can help you to thrive during menopause and midlife, offering unlimited access to doctors and experts with safe, science-backed treatments for your hormonal symptoms, as well as skin, hair, and sexual wellness treatments. And Alloy now offers access to competitively priced GLP-1 prescription medication to help manage midlife weight gain, all delivered right to your door. So here's how it works. First of all, you got to sign up. Alloy's solutions are available by prescription, so you'll need to complete a short medical questionnaire and patient verification. Then you design your treatment plan with a physician. You'll work with an expert physician to finalize a personalized treatment plan tailored to your specific needs. And then get your 3-month supply. Once approved, Alloy ships your prescription directly to your door with automatic refills. I cannot recommend Alloy enough. Join the 95% of women who tried Alloy and saw relief in the first 2 weeks. Head to myalloy.com/next level and tell them all about your symptoms, and you'll get a fully customized treatment plan, and you'll get $20 off your first order today. Head to myalloy.com/next level and enter code next level to get $20 off your first order.
Also, another thing that I think dampens down the look of this episode is in season four, I'm just not putting as much effort into like dressing up or looking cute for the show. And I know that's because I'm more immersed in my work and that's all I care about. I don't have as much time on my hands to be like, I know what the perfect outfit for this would be. But I regret it looking back, because as a viewer, it's so fun to watch that kind of stuff. I'm like, bitch, you couldn't make more of an effort for like this one scene.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
I notice my hair's all over the place. Like sometimes I have extensions in, sometimes I don't. Sometimes they're long and curly, sometimes they're normal.
Just in this episode?
Even in this episode, but just in general, like my hair is all over the place.
Trying new things.
I mean, sort of like here, because last week it was pink.
Yeah. And like I said, I feel like the confessionals just don't look great, which is weird because Kevin was so fastidious about the confessionals usually. But like my confessional in this episode is like my least favorite of the entire series. I'm wearing this dumb, frumpy sweater set. My necklace is like thrown to the back. It's off. My hair looks like shit. I'm like not at the usual angle I'm at. The lighting isn't right. It's just not the typical quality of confessional we usually see, which is weird because Kevin was usually a stickler for those. So it's weird. Maybe he was just slacking for some reason. Maybe he just got put on a new show and wasn't paying as much attention. I don't know.
When did Oak Island start?
Right? Or Ancient Aliens was probably Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the cold open, I start out by saying, I also think this is a weird cold open.
Me too. It's indicative of a vibe shift, definitely.
There is, okay, usually a cold open, you guys, is something like kind of quick and fun and quirky. This one had so much dialogue in it. So much dialogue. Like your interview, I was like, whoa, I have paragraphs of things that you're saying and stuff. And I'm like, this is just really weird, especially it's more dialogue than most episodes even have for anything, but especially for a cold open.
It's interesting because to me, this feels like a very different cold open. But then I was thinking, wait, I think the cold open to season 3, Christmas, was similar to this in a way, though. I just forget about it because Christmas seems like such an anomaly. But wasn't the cold open me decorating the mansion for Christmas and talking about how I'm the spirit of Christmas and I set up the tree and I do my village and I do the gingerbread house?
It could have been.
So it is kind of similar to that. But even watching this, I'm kind of surprised. First of all, I'm surprised they do the cold open on me because I always feel like usually they think I'm boring and they would want to come back rather with something more like spontaneous and fun and just quick cut. But I also think it might be by design. I feel like they're trying to like bring us back home and make us feel kind of homey because it's all about like me and Hef and the house and nesting. It's definitely not exciting or sexy or cute and fun, but I think they're like trying to bring us back home with this.
Yeah. And they definitely couldn't have started the episode or the season with any of the other things that we'd already shot because we were not at the mansion. Mm-hmm. They definitely need to start the season at the mansion at home. So Alaska wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And going to Monte Carlo wouldn't work. None of that would work. That's why they waited to show this one first. But also, I don't really feel like it's established at any other point in the show. We do see you downstairs at the dining room table working on things with the computer and stuff like that. But it's not really established that you're looking for an office space in the room.
I think that's why there's so much dialogue. You have to tell everybody.
Right.
That.
That's what I'm, that's what my point is. So we have to talk about why this is a thing and why Hef has so many desks in there and so much shit everywhere and why you just getting one of them is like the hardest thing ever. And like, this is a big get that you're finally getting from him. So we have to build those stakes and make it pay off all in like this short cold open.
And it's also reminding viewers that here's this weird world of this eccentric guy whose room is an absolute pigsty. And they do this sweeping shot through the mansion up the stairs, which is dated footage because it's that old carpet and stuff. And I think we've seen this shot probably last season. But I do think it's interesting because they take a little extra time to go over and document things you wouldn't otherwise see, like the velvet photo wall in his room, or like that desk as it was, or his pile of pictures he was waiting to hand out to everybody. And then they go into my vanity area, which is an absolute mess. And I'm complaining about how, well, my room's a mess too, not because I don't want to be organized, but because I have so much stuff and like nowhere to put it. And you can hear my resentment coming through when I'm talking about how you and Kendra both have rooms the size of condos and I have no space.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then it cuts to Hef going up the spiral staircase and going up into that. It's the third level of the house, but the second level of his suite, which is interesting to see because I don't know. Have we even seen that at all or seen much of it?
We have, at least in deleted scenes, because I remember there's that whole scene with Kendra up there asking permission to like go to the SBs or something like that.
Yeah, but like not on the actual show.
Yeah, no, I'm
so
not sure.
So this is interesting. I think it's the first time you've seen this. And as he's coming up the stairs, you can see in the background a giant neon penis. But I guess nothing's blurred on the DVD. I wonder if they had to blur that for network.
If they noticed it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I think is funny? I know you said that these shots are old because it shows the old carpet and stuff, but I really like these shots. I like it going up the stairs. I like it kind of stops in Hef's bedroom. It pans the room. You really get a good look at it. It goes up the spiral staircases. You see the attic space or the third floor or whatever.
You feel like you're there.
Yeah, it really does. And I think they use it a couple more times in the same episode. And I'm like, I really love this. I think that it follows us out to like... Or maybe it's the next one, follows out to the bathhouse and down to the gym and stuff. I think it's the next episode.
Yeah, that's why I like that deleted scene last season where we're on the cruise in coolers, is because it takes you continuously through that path that nobody ever goes down on the show.
Yes.
So it's just fun documentation. I only wish there was footage or a photo of that upstairs bathroom that I always talk about,
weird bathroom. Oh, I know.
And so Hef walks into one of the upstairs rooms and you can just see piles of stuff on the floor. And that wasn't his official scrapbook room where he would work on his scrapbook. It was just kind of like extra stuff.
Right.
It was really weird. And then Mary, I would complain about not having any desk space or anything. And I did technically have a desk in my vanity, but it wasn't big enough for everything I needed for my work. So you have to lay out like real size centerfolds and have that big computer screen. And Mary said that there were extra desks in Hef's room, if you uncovered it from under all the stuff, and that originally those desks were put in there for a woman because he bought that house in the early 70s, but they were still working on his room and renovating his room through like the early 80s, she said. And I think like Shannon Tweed was his girlfriend at the time, and that was supposed to be like a desk for her, but it just ended up getting covered in stuff. And then it cuts to me on the bed with Hef. I'm wearing the same, if you're watching the video, the same suit that I'm wearing today. And I'm looking like Curly Sue. Sometimes the way I would do my hair on the show, it looks just like my bobblehead doll, which is like a curly ass wig. I'm like looking because my doll's like behind me. And then I hand Hef something. I have no idea what. And we cackle about it.
Yeah.
And I say, those are my favorite pictures. And I'm so curious what they were.
Me too.
Yeah. And it's obviously a setup scene where Hef is presenting me this desk he's finally offering me, which is nice of him. And it's funny because he says, I don't really use the desk in the corner except for odds and ends. And it shows it. And it's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
The odds and ends. And I say in confessional, you don't know what a big deal it is that Hef offered me the desk. And I think this could be a gateway to bigger things, which is another beginning of the end moment, I feel.
Well, I was, I moment. Have on here, what does she mean by that? What kind of, what?
Oh, you don't know? I feel like it's obvious what they're going for.
What?
Oh, like we're getting married, we're having kids, like, you know, I finally get like a corner in his room.
But you think that that's what they are trying to imply by you just getting a desk in there?
Oh, 100%.
And that's what you're implying?
Was my quip too. Like I was always saying stuff like that. So I think that's another reason this feels like a little beginning of the end and vibe shift is like, we're moving somewhere else with this. Like what's next for these girls?
Yeah. This is not the desk I thought he was going to give you.
Oh, which one did you think? Upstairs?
Yes. So I was surprised when it was like in the main room like that, like behind the steps sort of. I was like, oh, yeah. That desk.
Yeah.
No. I mean, not that wouldn't have been nice too and whatever, but it just seems like you would have a little more privacy and a little more be able to concentrate a little better if you were upstairs.
Yeah, that the upstairs ones were smaller though.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think privacy I just felt was a lost cause at this point.
Yeah.
Another thing that kind of signals this vibe shift too on that same topic is later in this episode when you and I are sitting in your room, I'm so nonchalantly talking about wedding details like it's going to happen tomorrow. Like, well, how am I going to have a tent and fireworks at the same time?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a nonchalant, like.
So you think at this point you were still like, we're getting married and it's going to happen soon?
Oh, 100%. And I think Kevin thought it was going that direction. I think he was already starting to see the writing on the wall.
I know I definitely felt that way too, but I don't know at what point in time I knew it was shifting.
Huh.
And for some reason to me, watching this back, like I feel like it was already happening.
Yeah.
But then I'm watching this and then talking to you about that part and stuff, I'm like, okay, that's why I'm like, what did she mean by that? Because I'm thinking like work stuff or like, you know, something like that.
Oh, definitely not. Because even though there were little things I was trying to help other people with, like I didn't really care too much about the Playmate videos, but like Steve Wada really wanted to do them. And I thought it would be a good cost cut and stuff like that. But I felt like I kind of reached the pinnacle of like what my job was going to be there, you know, like there wasn't really too much further I could go unless I wanted to get involved in the corporate side, which I was never interested in.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, do you know when the vibe does switch?
Like, what do you mean?
When your mind changes that there's not going to be a wedding?
Oh, like right before I left. Like right before I left. Like a day before I left, probably.
Really?
100%. I mean, I started feeling weird and stuck about it when the in vitro didn't work. So I was like, wait, if I can't have kids, like, what's the point?
Right.
And that was going on for like a couple months before. But it was very hard for me to extricate myself from the mindset of like this relationship is forever. So I was just kind of like confused deer in the headlights for a couple months.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely already thinking it because we start doing in vitro like a month after this episode films.
Have you guys tried OneSkin yet? I am personally loving my results from it. I love the way my skin texture is looking and feeling. I use it all over my face, my neck, my chest, and the back of my hands, and I notice a significant difference. It absorbs nicely and it doesn't leave my skin feeling oily. The key is OneSkin's patented OS1 peptide. It works by targeting the signs of aging at the cellular level, something retinol can't do. In fact, it's the first peptide scientifically proven to reverse skin's biological age. So instead of irritating your skin like other topicals can, you're helping your skin look, feel, and act like its younger self. Get stronger, smoother, and healthier skin this summer with OneSkin.
You'll save 15% on your first purchase when you use code NEXTLEVEL at OneSkin.co.
Plus, OneSkin was founded in 2016 by an all-woman team of scientists with PhDs in skin regeneration, stem cell biology, immunology, and bioinformatics. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code NEXTLEVEL at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code NEXTLEVEL. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give your skin the scientifically proven gentle care it deserves with OneSkin.
So then the next shot is an aerial shot of the mansion, yes. Some patriotic Revolutionary War marching music in the background. The staff is setting up for 4th of July, and the thing Kendra says next is interesting, and I feel like indicative of where we are with the show, too, because she repeats a line that she had said in season one about how 4th of July for her is all about food, fireworks, and fucking. And I feel like this was fed to her because the producers don't really know what to do with her at this point. And in this episode anyway, and it might come back in later episodes, I forget. But in this episode, she kind of seems to have like, and I don't want to come down negative on her because I think she is being very positive in this episode and nice and participating, but she's kind of lost her spark a little bit. It seems like she, in this episode anyway, she doesn't seem like that super, you know, kinetic energy, hyper, any words fall out of her mouth person anymore. And I feel like they don't know what to do with Kendra, so they're trying to reel her back into like the season one Kendra that the audience fell in love with. So like, Kendra, what do you say about 4th of July? Remember that great line, food, fireworks, and fucking? I feel like there's a couple instances in this episode that make me think that's what was happening.
Interesting. One of the things that could be pulling Kendra away from this whole scene or this episode anyway, I don't know about the whole season, but this episode is the fact that she is actively doing that celebrity rap superstar or whatever it was called.
Was it this early? Because I know she's dressed up for it when we meet your brother, but that's September.
Oh, I thought it was now, too. I don't know when.
It could have been in preliminary discussions. Because I remember when she was talking about it in the limo one day about, like, even who she would be paired up with. Because they wanted to pair up with Paul Wall. And she's like, I'll lose if I get Paul Wall. I want Too Short. Can't be with Paul Wall. Do you remember that?
No. Yeah. I thought she loved Paul Wall.
Well, I don't know, but he really wanted to work with her, I guess. And she's like, I'll lose if I'm with Paul Wall. I don't know if she didn't like him or not, but I think she just wanted to be with Too Short. I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I did like seeing all the 4th of July being set up. I like the flags being planted, the popcorn cart being rolled out. They were showing them setting up the fireworks mm-hmm. on the grassy knoll. It's kind of interesting to see how that's all set up. All the balloons that they had, these huge bouquets of balloons that they put yeah. at the end of the stairway. And you're talking about all the preparation, all different people on the staff for 4th of July. They go around and decorate, and they're setting out all those lawn chairs and putting towels on all of them, putting out all the pool toys, making sure the volleyball net is up. And you're like, it's a lot of work, which I'm sure it is. And then, but then they cut to, as if to contrast what yeah. you're saying, they cut to Hank and Brian jumping on the trampoline. And Brian says, oh yeah, we're just jumping. We've got to make sure it's okay for the girls.
How'd that scene land with you? No pun intended.
It felt a little forced.
I thought so too. And I thought it was cute at the time. And no offense to Brian and Hank, because I think they are absolutely great in other scenes. But there's a couple scenes like this in season 4. In the unveiling episodes, there's another scene where they're setting up for Midsummer's and they're like testing out the seats or something like that. And it does feel forced. It does feel very much like, because I know Kevin really liked Brian and Hank, and I think he was trying to bring back a little bit more of that staff element. But it does feel very forced and unnatural. Like, hey, why don't you guys go jump on the trampoline? And, you know, you're testing it out for the, as if the trampoline needs fucking tested out. Like, it's right. out there all the time. But it does feel, and I don't mean this in a conceited way, like we have to be part of the scenes, because I love it when other people are featured, yeah. like playmate scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the staff scenes feel more organic and real when we are in the scenes with them.
Yeah. Or unless it's real and organic, like they're packing up for, you know, like they're yeah. doing stuff. They're going through a head's closet uh-huh. or they're packing up for a trip, or they're like doing things that are organic and natural that they normally would do.
Like, I don't think Hank and Brian would ever in the middle of a day go jump on the trampoline. Like, I feel like they would feel like, not that they're not fun, but I think they would feel like that's a little disrespectful. Like, I feel like they were more professional than that. Like, it does feel forced.
Yeah. Well, odd. I feel like they'd be afraid that Hef would look out and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
We have a 4th of July party to set up. Like, why are you jumping on the trampoline? But if Hef looked out and the cameras were filming him and saw them jumping on the trampoline, he'd probably get a cackle out of that and think that was funny, that they're doing something funny for the cameras and not think anything yeah. of it.
But if it was not for the cameras, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on out
yeah,
there?
Yeah. I totally think he would even walk out there and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
He might even unlatch the window for once in his life and be like, hey, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Exactly.
I can see it.
Me I'm too.
I can
Me
see
too.
It. Hey, what the fuck are you guys doing out there?
Yeah.
We got a party to set up for. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I totally see it.
And this confessional where I'm talking about this is the ugliest confessional. What is that sweater set I picked out? I'm at a weird angle. My hair sucks. The lighting sucks.
Is it the weird sweater where there's like a sweater under sweater?
Yes.
It's like I did wonder.
It's disgusting. And it's like this weird white cardigan that would have been like cute over an Easter dress, but it's horrible.
And there does look like there's a weird kind of lump on the side of your head.
Yeah, like my hair isn't right. The angle isn't my usual
like
angle.
Like the fall isn't setting right or
yeah,
something. Like
the
it's
lighting isn't right.
But I think it's just the way you're sitting. So I do yeah. think, kind of like the way I'm sitting today, I know it's not flattering for me, but I'm like crawling up in a ball.
And then I talk about the slip and slide, and I have to brag that it's my idea. Because if you don't, you won't get any fucking credit.
It's true.
I'm still shouting to the rooftops to this day that the slip and slide was my idea.
Because, and I understand why. Because yeah. You have to.
It gets absorbed by other people. Like, I guarantee if I hadn't been saying from day one that the slip and slide was my idea, there would be staff doing interviews on other podcasts this day going, and then we thought of a slip and slide.
Hank came up with this great idea.
Yeah.
Or whatever, whoever, you know, whatever. But like,
it was Hank's idea to get a pro one though, because he was like, the liabilities could be deadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they flash back to the 2005 slip and slide that was just Jimmy rigged tarps, which was very, I will say that the staff did an amazing job innovating on that and putting those up because they did the physical work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were getting something safer, and they were these amazing custom slip and slides that were built specifically for that rolling hill. They had like inflatable dolphins on the side that like squirted water everywhere. They were such a dream. And I always think about this, though. Can you imagine if there was a puncture in that slip and slide trying to find the hole?
I know.
Like, I know there's like different sections, so you'd have kind of like a clue to where it was coming from, but it's just so big. What if there was a tiny hole? How are you going to find that thing?
Yeah. And you guys, these were for sale in the auction, and I wanted them.
It's so weird, though, because nobody could use them effectively because they were made for that hill.
I know they were.
You could jimmy rig it up over something, but it would be sad.
But we do have a hill in our backyard that goes down to a lower level. I know it's not going to be the same dimension.
Like, stair step.
Yeah. But I thought it's possible it would work.
Yeah. But Darren has them.
Well, that's what's confusing to me. He had them, but they are also in the auction.
Was the auction later after he threw those 4th of July parties?
Oh, yeah, it was. But do you think he donated them then to the auction? Or do you think there were two sets made? Or do you think he kept one and gave the other away? Or like, how are they in? It looked like there were two sets. Like, not two sets, but both sides.
That's really strange. And like, again, who would have bought? I know you say you wanted them. But I get it as sentimental. Like, who else? Like, it doesn't make any sense for any other terrain. And like, who else would want those so bad? I know they're fucking amazing. But they're...
First of all, you have to have a shit ton of room.
Yeah.
And secondly, you have to have a slope. And I don't know how forgiving they are if the slope isn't the same.
Right.
So I'm hoping...
it's like a stair step slope.
Yeah. Too. So I was sort of hoping that like it's... Because it's inflatable, mm-hmm. it's giving enough to where even though our slope is not going to be anywhere near the rolling hills like that, that it could still work and... Still work, maybe. I wouldn't know until I started blowing them up and see what happens. But yeah, I really wanted them. But you're right. Like, it would take a certain person that has enough room like that and some sort of slope in their backyard for them to go down.
Yeah.
But I don't know how perfect the slope needs to be as far as like, you know, mm-hmm. the hills and stuff.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. I'm a mom, I have a son, and I think a lot about the future of his mental health. And I know there's a lot of pressure on men today, and there's a stigma on men going to therapy or pursuing bettering their mental health. And I hope my son never feels that way. I hope he always feels great. I hope he always feels like he can ask for help. I've benefited so much from therapy all through all different adult stages of my life. I've told you guys that a million times before. I'm a big believer in it. With BetterHelp, you can find over 35,000 therapists. It's the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an app store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's convenient too. You can join a session with a therapist at just the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/nextlevel. That's betterhelp.com/nextlevel. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And can I just say my accent is coming out so hard in this episode and it drives me up a wall. The way I say an ass sound, like I had, I can't even replicate it now how I used to say it. I had. I can't do it the way I do it, but the way it's like there's a Y in there. Like I had to try the slip and slide. And I noticed in this episode, like I don't know what it was, if I was tired from our trip, but it's like, it's so annoying to me.
It's interesting to me because I feel like now I need to watch it again because I feel like I did notice like a little bit of an accent in your voice in this episode. But not enough to where like I really, really picked up on it to like write something. But like now that you're saying it, like there's something sort of like snapping mm-hmm. in my head going, oh, you noticed that too a little bit.
It drives me up a wall listening back to it. So I come down to try out the slip and slide and the light blue bikini I'm wearing is a sample from the bikini line we were supposed to have that never happened.
Wah.
Womp, womp, womp. And then Kendra comes out to watch and she's not interested in participating, which I don't think she was ever like into the slip and slides.
She wasn't. And that just seems so weird to me and out of character. Like, I feel like she should be the first one over there trying to race everybody.
You would think, but she didn't like anything. Like, she didn't like trapeze.
Right.
There was a certain genre of stuff she didn't like, but she's out there like being positive and participating, not trying to do any weird, like ruining the scene that she would do sometimes.
Yeah. And then I'm out there with my dad.
Your bio dad. Because you've seen your stepdad before, but is this the first time we're seeing your biological dad?
Yes, I think so.
I think so too. And he's out of nowhere. What was the occasion?
I know. And in my head, I was like, I think he just came to visit because, and he probably was like excited about the possibility.
I don't know. Is this a thing? Why was he on like a motorcycle trip?
Well, probably. He probably did ride his motorcycle out.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like he was on some motorcycle trip and that was like a pit stop. I don't know why I think that though.
I think the motorcycle trip might have been to come see me. Oh, okay. And this was the destination, but there might have been pit stops along the way. I'm not sure. I did ask him yesterday. I texted him and I was like, "What? But why were you in LA? And why did you come to 4th of July? And he's like, I just came to see you. I hadn't seen you in a while. And so I think he has other, my aunt, as you guys know, and I have another uncle who also live in LA. So I think he just came to see people and see us and see the mansion. Cause I don't even know. I think he's been to the mansion maybe once before. I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got to stay in the mansion. He got to stay in room 6.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy.
I forgot how cold it was going down these slip and slides until you say something about it in the scene.
Yes. So I really want to try it out, but obviously I'm in my dress and everything, but I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to go in my dress. If my dad wasn't there, I might have taken the dress off and went in bra and panty, but my dad's standing right there. You guys are probably thinking, what does it matter? She does a strip tease in front of her stepdad. But anyway, I go down the I go down the slip and slide and it's freezing.
Freezing cold.
Because it's just hose water.
Yeah.
And it's so cold.
Yeah, so cold.
When you crash in and you stand up and you're holding your elbow like this, did you like hurt your elbow?
I don't remember. There might have been a little burn or something. Because you know how those inflatables, those heavy ones are a little canvassy at some points?
Yeah, because you go like this and then you kind of look at it and then you like are rubbing it. And I was like, oh shit, did she hurt herself again and try to hide it?
I don't remember anything like that. It was probably just like a burn or like sometimes you hit the Velcro on those things or something.
Yeah.
So then Hef comes out and I say, want to see me go down? And they do this funny da-da-da drum beat and cut to a monkey like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see Ish in the background from the zoo staff.
And Hef says, I know this is supposed to be new and improved, but it looks like a wilder ride. And it really was.
Oh, yeah.
It was
fast.
It was so fast, you guys. And there was no control of this thing. Like, it was just, but at least you knew what you were going to crash into at the end. And you knew you weren't going to go off the side, which were the real dangers before.
Oh, yeah. It had to be so much safer than I mean, I still can't believe Hef let us do that. One thing for us to do it on our own or for your surprise birthday party, but I can't believe he let us do that at a 4th of July party with randoms there.
I can't either.
And somebody told me, like, years after we left, they started to make people sign waivers before they went down the slip and slides.
That's
and
smart.
Was that because somebody actually got hurt?
I think so. I heard somebody hurt their wrist.
Oh.
And I don't know what happened.
Amateur.
I know. I'm like, user error. That's the risk you take.
Yeah. And when I'm coming back up from going down the slip and slide, you get a really good shot of like the stairs that are on the side of the rolling hills. Didn't we use those for like workouts sometimes?
Yeah, I definitely
like,
did.
Like go up and down them a million times.
Oh, and I would do like the lunges on them.
Yeah.
You know, where you do like 3 or 4 at a time and do like a crazy lunge and come back up. Yeah, we go up and down those sometimes to kill my sister, making her do them with me. And then you come up and you tell Hef it's your turn. And he points to my dad and says, I'll do it if he does it.
And I'm like, wait, you're going to do it?
But my dad, I know all of us are like, oh, he's going to do it. We're all freaking out. But that was a bad wager for Hef because I think he's thinking for some reason my dad has no desire to do that.
Right.
My dad, if like it wasn't weird, my dad would have stripped down and done it right then and there.
Yeah.
But he's like a daredevil. He's definitely would have wanted to do those. Mm-hmm. 100% would have wanted to do that. Probably wanted to do it right then and there, just didn't have the right clothes. Attire for it. But absolutely would do that. So that was the wrong bet for Hef to make.
Yeah, that is so funny.
I mean, spoiler alert, he doesn't follow through on it. He takes that back like right away. But like,
and I go, wait, did you say maybe tomorrow? And they do that funny pause where they go, do, 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 do.
Yeah.
And focus in on Hef. And I think at the time I would have been really excited had he wanted to do it, because I always liked to get him to like go outside his comfort zone and do fun things, like when he did the sledding on Christmas. But thinking back on it now, that would have been a horrible idea. Like the way his back was always hurting. What was I thinking?
I really wanted him to do it too.
I know. At the time I thought, oh my God, cool. He'll have so much fun. He'll love it. But thinking back, I'm like, that would have like thrown him for a loop or two.
Yeah.
Like he would have taken a week to recover.
Oh, God.
And then they do a really cute, funny animation of Hef going down the slip and slide.
Yeah, because in interview I say, and I can tell it's a weird, if you guys go back and listen, this is a full-on wild line. Like not a fed line, a wild line where I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I just say it. Like they just give me a line to say. I said, do you think Hef would have went down in silk pajamas and a smoking jacket? Now that would be something to see. And they show him like a graphic of him doing that, which is funny.
That's so funny.
You know what's frustrating? Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with up to 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives that growing kids should never eat. That's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. They taste great. I know this because I've tried them myself. Every single batch is third-party tested for heavy metals and microbials in a qualified GMP-compliant lab using scientifically validated testing methods. So you know the product is safe and nutritious, and that takes a big weight off of my shoulders. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. I love that. So my kids love the Hiya vitamins. We just got the new Lion King vitamin canisters. They are so pretty and so cute, and the kids love them. Also, I gotta let you know about Hiya Greens. Are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has kids' daily greens plus superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. The same multivitamin that more than 1 million kids and parents love are now available with Disney's The Lion King, with a new Lion King unboxing experience, including Lion King bottle and Lion King stickers. And we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/next level. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/next level and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Oh, one thing I wanted to note too about this interview. Oh, actually, this interview I kind of liked. I didn't mind of myself anyway. I'm sitting in the backyard and I'm super casual. Like I have my legs folded. I know I mentioned this once before, but I just think it's interesting that I was doing interviews like that, because I feel like later on, that kind of becomes a style that people try and adopt, where I'm not saying they got it from me or anything like that, but like it becomes and I remember like Pam Anderson doing it almost like they're just being more casual, more real, because they're like sitting in a more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I'm talking about?
Like it became kind of a style.
Uh-huh.
And I still see people doing it today. I'm doing it today. Back. But like it was unusual then.
Mm-hmm.
I feel totally. Like it was very weird. And so I keep noticing it every time I'm sitting like that. But I feel like I was ahead of my time as far as interviews and being cozy. And
yeah, people usually wanted to be more like I remember sitting in that hard folding chair when I was doing my confessional, like,
nah. Yeah, me.
Like it was not comfortable.
I was.
And you had a mic pack in your back cutting in and stuff.
Yeah, I was most of the time too. But I feel like that's why I like can notice in these, like I'm sitting Indian style, the mic pack is next to me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just really getting cozy and cuddling in for this like therapy session of interviews that I'm about to do.
Yeah, totally. And then the next scene is in your room, and it looks so nice with the hardwood floors.
And it looks so much bigger.
It really does.
And it focuses on Gizmo for a minute, and I'm sitting on the floor. I tell Winnie to stay, and she doesn't. And I think that's just sort of a nod to, like, the lessons that we were doing before and then not learning any. I think they're trying to say, and she didn't learn anything.
Oh, no.
But it's not true. And then I'm talking about how 4th of July at the mansion is an awesome party, and I love it, but it's always a little bittersweet because it reminds me of my brother Eddie so much. And then they show, like, little kid photos of Eddie and
I
together.
Those pictures are so cute.
And I say, Eddie's my younger brother. He and I have always been very close. My parents got divorced when I was about 9. And then my mom remarried my stepdad. And later, they had my sister, Anastasia. And then they show a photo of what's supposed to be, like, our family. Uh-huh. And I assume it's supposed to be Anastasia, they think. But it's not Anastasia in the picture. It's Jeff's nephew.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then I talk about how my brother went to mortuary college and was a mortician, but after September 11th, he made the choice to join the Army, and now he is an Army Ranger, airborne, and I'm so proud of him. And it shows me opening up my little closet doors and turning on my TV and putting a DVD in the Blu-ray player.
You know what I think of every time you talk about your brother enlisting after 9/11? I think of that story you told me how when George W. Bush got elected, you had this weird premonition that something bad is going to happen.
I did.
So crazy.
I did. It's, yeah. And I had no idea. And I wasn't like being like all political or anything because I wasn't like a super political person or anything like that. It wasn't even anything like that. But I did have a premonition, like just a gut feeling.
And we're not saying because he got elected that that's why it happened. We're not trying to be, it's just.
No, it has nothing to do with politics.
Like a sequence of events type of weird premonition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say, it's been well over a year since I saw my brother last. And that entire time he was in Iraq.
How long was he over there total?
I don't even know because he did multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think he did like 5 or 6 tours.
Damn.
I've asked him a million times and I just can't keep it straight each time. And each time is different. But this time I'm saying he was in Iraq for over a year.
Wow.
So.
With no breaks.
If he had breaks, I don't think he was able to come all the way home. Yeah. He might have had like local breaks.
Wow.
And so I'm watching a video that my brother sent me from Baghdad.
I have a question. Was the video made specifically for you to watch on the show or would he just do this kind of thing regularly?
It was meant for the show.
Okay.
I think that I was going to set up like a phone call or something to talk about him coming home. And they were like, is there any way like he could send us? I think Kevin wanted it. Is there any way he can send this video like showing us like the base and like what his day-to-day life on the base and stuff? That'd be so cool if we had that footage.
I'm glad they did that because it gives you more of like a perspective.
Yeah, I'm glad too. And I'm glad to have that.
Yeah.
But they were really... And as they should be, it's a war zone. They were really particular about him not showing, like, walking around the base and showing day-to-day life and stuff. But he could be in a certain area where, like, press is allowed and stuff and do that video. So we got part of what Kevin wanted.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't just send me, like, videos on the random or anything. Mm-hmm. But he's showing me his uniform and the Kevlar vest and talking about the plates that are in it. And he pulls out a hand grenade and he's like, oh, here, I'll show you how this works. And he acts like he's pulling out the pin, and which gets me each time I watch it, even though I know he's joking. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a real grenade.
Yeah,
you know?
That's scary. Like,
and he's showing his gun. And it's like so weird to see my brother with like a real gun. Like, he used to play G.I. Joe when we were kids and stuff. But it's just so weird seeing it, like, for real.
Totally.
It's, like, on a different level. And, of course, I'm crying. No surprise to probably everybody. Yeah. And I'm holding Winnie. Oh, and I even say that in the conversation. I say, it's weird to see my brother with a real gun and a grenade. I remember him when he was kids playing with those kinds of things as toys. And now it's all real and he's really in danger there.
That Kevlar vest he brings out looks so heavy.
I think they are. And you know that I really wanted to do, and we'll get into it more in a minute. I really wanted to do USO stuff and go over there and everything. And you have to wear those going over there as like a guest.
Oh, I was going to say, I can't believe people wear those. They look so heavy. Like, I would fall onto my tits if I had that on. I wouldn't be able to move. That's got to be a workout.
Yeah. And then it shows me calling my mom and telling her I got a video from Eddie and we're both crying. And I was even crying as I was rewatching this. I was getting all teary-eyed and stuff. And I'm like, I wrote in my notes, because I was watching this just before I was going to record a Ghost Bunny episode, and I was all ready to do Ghost Bunny, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do this for a few minutes till I have to like get on. And I'm bawling, crying, and I'm like, oh God, now I have to go record an episode.
Oh no.
So I like fix myself real quick.
I will say I rag on the confessionals in this episode, but the one I really like, and I think I sent you a picture of it, if you got the picture, because when I was going through this episode, I'm constantly like texting you my thoughts and stuff like that. But I accidentally sent a bunch of my thoughts to Tana. And she's probably like, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, no.
So if you got that one. So that's the one confessional I really like, because I think the background looks so cute with the different shades of pink. And you have your skirt from the upcoming Midsummer Night's Dream, which is like really pretty, like gold, orange, and pink hanging in the background.
Yeah.
And I do like that one.
And then in an interview, I just say, I definitely worry about my brother being over there every single day. So every time you get an email or a phone call, everybody's just so relieved. It's very scary over there. It's a war situation and a lot of people are dying and you just never know. And that's true, you know, and they're 100%. Over there because, I mean, even, you know, non-related to like going out and actually being in war, accidents happen all the time just on base and stuff.
You never know if like a base is going to get taken out, like if things go really apeshit.
I know. Yeah, so it's very scary.
Really scary. Before we move on to the next scene, I'm so curious because it's you guys going to send off the Marines.
Yes.
And I was curious, I know you said you can't find your day planners, but do you have any idea like what date that was or what day of the week? Because I'm so weirded out that I didn't go because I usually like doing that kind of stuff, like any excuse to wear
weird.
A funny costume, Operation Playmate, stuff like that. And I wonder, what was I doing? Was I working or?
I have to assume you were working.
Yeah, because it looks like you guys are leaving fairly early, like maybe the end of a work day type of a thing.
Yeah. Well, I leave extra early. If you see, I don't actually go with Kendra and the Playmates, but I'm there because I leave extra early and I go. My parents are in town. My sister is there. We all and it's all the way in like I think it's all the way in like Newport Beach or something like that. So we leave early. And we go to the beach and we go to Sharky's. Like, so I drove the trail car and we went there. And so Kendra is coming with Pat Lacey and all the Playmates in the limo later.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. But
do you remember what time of year it even was that you guys did that?
I don't. And I didn't see it in my scrapbooks yet, but I didn't look at August. I've looked at June, July, and September. And the only reason I went to September was because I wanted to pull the pictures of my brother getting here, and he didn't come till September, even though it makes it look like it was around 4th of July.
Would you have pictures from that, though? Because
no, I wouldn't have pictures, but I feel like I saved so much stuff that there would be an indication.
Lanyard or something.
Yeah, or it would be on the – I kept the schedules.
Right.
So it would be on one of the schedules that we were going – that – Bridget and Kendra and the Playmates or whatever are going to this Marine send-off party.
Yeah.
Or like even like the page where PR prints it out and puts all the information on there asking permission type of thing, you know, like one of those data sheet type things. I should have something in my scrapbooks. So I will check August when I get home because we can at least confirm for you for the part two of this episode that when it exactly was. And then maybe you can... Look at your day planner.
Check my day planner and see what I was doing because it's so weird to me.
Maybe you were doing, my guess is it's in August and maybe you were doing like your in vitro thing that day or something.
Maybe, yeah.
It has to be something like that. You wouldn't have just not gone.
Yeah. And it's interesting that they were able to like wrangle Kendra into going because it's so not something she'd be interested in doing. And another thing that's kind of like vibe shift that's on par with them getting her to repeat that line from season one at the top of this episode is they lean back into the whole Kendra doesn't want to wear a bunny suit thing from season one. And I think they're just kind of like struggling on finding ways not only to get her involved, but like keep her that fun, spontaneous fly in the ointment Kendra that she was in season one. Like, I feel like they're trying for that.
Yeah.
So we know this next scene is going to be a Kendra scene because we hear her faux hip hop music.
Yes.
And they start off with an interesting shot because, you know, I love the shots of like nooks and crannies of the house you don't usually see. And we're going down the hall toward Kendra's room, but they're shooting the ceiling for some reason, which is weird. I don't know if maybe they just didn't get like a behind shot of Pat Lacey walking down the hall. So they're like, what do we do? Let's scoot to the ceiling.
Interesting.
But it's interesting. And it's Pat Lacey walking, Pat Lacey, who's the bunny mother, who's in charge of like all the Playmate promotions and the bunny costumes and stuff, walking down the hall to Kendra's room. And I'm so confused by this.
Me too.
Because Lacey's going out of her way to bring Kendra a very nondescript jacket. It is navy blue with red stripes. And I think it says something about USA on the back. I see later, although there's a hood, so it's hard to tell, or her hair or something. It's hard to tell. And Lacey's going out of her way to bring her this because obviously she doesn't wear the bunny costume. But then later in scenes, she's not wearing that jacket. She's wearing like a Rasta jacket.
Which is the same one she has on at the beginning of the scene. Like she has the Rasta jacket on at the beginning. Uh-huh. Then Pat Lacey hands that to her. She tries it on and says, I love it. It's perfect. And Lacey tells her, we're just waiting on the car to get here. In an interview, Kendra says, one night, it's kind of weird how she says it. One night, some of the Playmates and Bridget and I went down to a Marine base and went to say goodbye to all of the Marines before they left for Iraq. We just had to go down and thank them for fighting for us. But it was like a Marine send-off party. It was the families and friends and everything. It was like a big banquet because they were leaving presumably the next day, I think it was. Oh, wow. But I don't know if it was that soon or whatever, but soon to go to Iraq. So
it's weird to me that they even have Kendra explaining what it is in her confessional, because you can see that she's trying her best, but she seems like she's a little confused. And even though she's already been to the event at this time, doesn't really know what it was about or what the scenario was. And she's kind of struggling with it. And I'm like, you're the obvious person to explain what this is and why it's meaningful and why you're going. But I think they're just really struggling to shoehorn Kendra into this episode because I'm the slip and slide hoe and you have your family heavily involved. So we have our stuff to do and she doesn't really have anything to do.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to shoehorn her in. But obviously, you would have been the more effective spokesperson for explaining to the audience what this is.
Well, and I was thinking that when she was explaining it, too. I was like, oh, she doesn't explain things right. And I would have been, I should have been the one doing that. But you're right. Like, I have so much later on in this, and it just doesn't give any room for her to have anything. Mm-hmm. So they have to put it in when they can.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't make the most sense. But I feel like they do that for her, but they don't usually do that for us.
I can't think of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I can't think of any time, like I've talked about how, especially like in season three, I feel like they're being more fair and including me more, but it's because I'm bringing something relevant to the episode to the table or some idea to the table.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head where I'm like, oh, wow, they're really just trying to create a space for me here. Like, I don't think that ever happens. And with you, that was never needed. Like, you always had something going on.
But in the next episode, I do feel like they kind of do that for me. Like, I feel like there's no scene for me at all, really.
In heavy lifting.
Yeah. But they create this one thing that kind of, and we'll get to it when we're talking about that episode. But there is a scene where I feel like, oh, we just did this because
I know
I wouldn't be in the episode if I didn't do that.
Yeah, but it's so minimal. And it's literally like you're in the whole episode a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But here they're like not pushing her so hard where she has like a ton of camera time, but just sticking her in places that don't really make sense.
Yeah. You know what? It's just interesting. I was just thinking this. I know it was season three, but the last episode we just talked about was all about like your family and everything being there. And then this is the next episode and it's all about like my family and stuff being there. And then the next episode is all about Kendra's mom and her.
Yeah. It's a lot of family.
Yeah. So that last episode was like very heavily yours. This is like very heavily mine. And the next episode is very heavily Kendra's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is.
I don't know what that means. It's just something I just realized as we're talking about this.
It means things are getting more fair, I think, from my perspective. But
yeah. But, yeah.
But also, yeah, there's also still weird quirks about it.
Right. So then the next scene, Kendra and Juliana are walking out of the house together.
Did you notice anything about this scene?
I'm about to say something about it, but I don't know if it's the one thing you're going to say.
I'm interested. What is it?
Kendra keeps telling Juliana, thanks for coming and giving her a hug and stuff.
And like clinging onto her.
Yeah, and clinging. It's like Kendra is so far out of her comfort zone on coming with the playmates to go do something with a bunch of girls that she doesn't know that well.
Yeah.
And doing something kind of corporate with Pat Lacey in the car and going to do this marine thing that she doesn't even understand what she's even doing or why she has to go to this. Mm-hmm. And she's so thankful that Juliana is coming with because it like takes some of the pressure off her because she feels like she has somebody that she can vibe with while she's there. Because otherwise this would just be so miserable.
Yeah, I think so too. And your view is a little more charitable. Mine was like that same thing, but I felt like she was – in a way, like, oh, you're the only cool one, Juliana. Kind of like a, at least somebody cool's here.
Yeah.
But I guess I can relate. Like, we all are out of our comfort zones sometimes, and you all want that. You want at least one person that you can kind of vibe with or like makes it easier.
Yeah. Like, I get that part. But theoretically, like, you are going with the camera crews. You know Pat Lacey. These are all playmates. I know she didn't go out of her way to make friends with people, contrary to how the show shows it. But like, you do know them. And then I'm going to be there too. I know I'm not cool enough to hang out with either.
Yeah.
And then I know my family's going to be there, which she knows all of them. And then you're doing something for the troops and like doing something nice and stuff. So it does seem weird to me that it's so far out of our comfort zone. But I do get like being in a situation and having somebody that you're friends with and feeling like, oh, good. Thank God you're here because it'll make it easier for me.
Yeah, totally. So, and who was all there? I wrote down a bunch of names based on who we see.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even write down who was there.
I see, obviously, you're there, Kendra, Juliana, Lori Fetter. It looks like Julie Cialini. Was she there?
I think so.
Ava Fabian, Lauren Hill, Shallon Myers, Christine Smith. Those were all the ones I saw. And those were a lot of playmates you don't usually see on the show.
Like, yeah.
We've never seen Lori Fetter before. And that's because they're from like a couple years earlier, like from like early 2000s before the show started. So we don't really see them too much. And then Kendra says this kind of funny thing where she had a vision that you guys were going to be like on a dock, like waving off like a ship full of sailors, which that would have been cool.
That would have been cool. Very, like, but it just goes to show liner. She doesn't.
Has no idea what
she has no idea what we're doing. And she thinks that she doesn't know the difference between like Marines and like Navy sailors. Yeah,
somebody points that out in the limo.
They're
like, it's not the same thing. Should we wrap up before we get into the second half?
Yes.
So we will be back next week with the second half of Patriot Dames. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. We'll be doing a whole episode based on the commentary around this episode. And if you'd like to check out our merch, it's at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
And you guys, it's crazy. This commentary, you don't want to miss it. I'm not kidding. It is. I was so shook.
It's a preview into the future for sure. So bye, guys.
Bye, guys.